The Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because the hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Let us pray. Holy God, you have a word for us today, a word of comfort, a word of challenge, a word of hope, and a word of guidance for our lives. Lord, make our hearts soft. Plant your word in us that it may bear fruit through our lives. Amen. We live in a paradox, and the paradox is this, that we are more constantly connected to one another than human beings have ever been, and somehow at the same time in our modern U.S. culture, we are lonelier than human beings have ever been. There's an author and researcher named Jean Twenge, and she and her team, as they study shifts across cultures, across generations, they've noticed in recent years unprecedented levels in things like anxiety and depression and loneliness in the world today. And when we live in this time of being constantly connected and at the same time profoundly lonely, we have to wonder, what is our unique calling as the church today? In this time of connection and isolation, what is the good news that Jesus wants us to hear and to share? Today, as we continue on in our 30-day Easter challenge, today I want to talk about loneliness and belonging. If you were here a couple weeks ago, Pastor Verinia talked about doubt and faith, and last week we focused on fear and peace, all these things that resonate in our hearts and in our questions. And so when we think today about loneliness and belonging, what are some of those cultural or societal shifts that are causing this spike, this increase in loneliness? And before we fall into the temptation of searching for a simple scapegoat or a quick fix reason, we have to acknowledge that these are multi-layered challenges, right? And this is something that's actually been building and growing for decades. So first of all, when we look at author Jean Twenge's research, her and her team connected data in recent years about loneliness and anxiety increasing. The data trends are unmistakably connected to the same trend lines with the use of cell phones. Shocking, I know, right? But again, it's multifaceted. This is just one of many factors. But you think about it, the cell phones, the internet, they give us this illusion of community without actually being with other people. You see that? But think about some other things in our culture. Think about our transportation. How many of you walk to work every day or school and you talk to your neighbors and strangers along the way? No? Huh. How many of you take public transportation and you're sitting on the train or the bus and you're getting to know new people that way every day? No? How many of you ride in your own personal car every day almost? Yeah, most of us, right? You can see how our transportation promotes isolation. Think about our houses, our homes where people live. If you look in the neighborhoods around us in the community and houses, they're not called multi-generational homes anymore, are they? They're called what? Single-family houses or homes, right? And you even look at the change in architecture. It wasn't that long ago that there used to be a lot more front porches pointing us toward one another, toward our neighbors, and now it's much more common to find back decks with good privacy, right? Our habitations promote separation. And then you think about things like social mobility. I mean, how many of us have moved far away from home for school or work and had to start over with our relationships around us? And then there's this invisible yet powerful force that's undergirding all of this in our culture, and that's the idolization of individuality, about focusing on the individual more than the community. So many aspects of our modern culture move us toward separation and isolation rather than toward relationship and community. Is it any wonder we continue to get lonelier in our world? And what are some of the consequences of this rampant loneliness? It's devastating, isn't it? I mean, we see how that can amplify things like depression or mental health challenges. It can spark addictions of all different kinds. It can lead towards abuse and tension in families. And in the worst cases, we see it manifest in these mass shootings, school shootings. And what's the story we hear after every one of those incidents? It's the same story repeated. He was a loner. A loner. There was some human being who was created in the image of God, someone God loves, someone for whom Jesus died, but somehow existing in the world without life-giving community, without a sense of love and belonging to something beautiful and something good. And as I prepared for the sermon this week, there's one line in the gospel that I'd usually missed, but I kept coming back to it. It was this. Jesus said, "And the wolf snatches them and scatters them." We have many cultural wolves doing a lot of scattering, don't we? The wolf of individualism, the wolf of not enough time, the wolf of hurt, the wolf of rejection. And when we are separated and scattered, we are at our most vulnerable. It's then that the lies of the enemy are far more effective when we're alone, whispering things like, "You're not good enough. You're unlovable." But my siblings in Christ, When the wolf of loneliness whispers that lie of rejection, we don't need to listen because we know a different voice, the voice of the Good Shepherd, that voice of Jesus that calls you by name, that voice that says, "You are mine, you are loved, you belong to me, and there is nothing and no one that can ever change that." My friends, belonging brings life. And Jesus says in John 10:10, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." We all long for this, to be known, to be truly and deeply known. And yet at the same time, to be truly known is to be vulnerable, isn't it? I mean, to belong to community with others, it means opening ourselves up, daring to be formed and shaped by those relationships, to be refined and challenged by one another and by God. Belonging brings life, but belonging also brings transformation. Right now, Council is reading through a book together about the decline in participation in faith communities of all kinds in the United States. Tied to data and studies, it's by author Ryan Burge. And one of the things that Ryan Burge talks about is the importance of faith communities, not just for individuals, but for the very social fabric of our society. He calls these things the third space socially, family being the first space, those that you are around all the time, and then there's the second space, which is like work or school, where you're there most days, but it's different. But in the third space, the faith community, it's something very different because it puts us in relationship with people different than ourselves, different than our everyday lives. It's a social space that's far less homogenous than anything else we choose to be a part of around us. It's multi-generational. Often there's different, various socioeconomic levels, different ethnicities or backgrounds or political ideologies, all of us gathering around a common mission together, loving one another, listening to one another, being formed by one another. And Burge argues that our society desperately needs these kinds of third spaces in order to function in healthy ways. Belonging brings life, not just for us, but for the world. And the belonging that we find in the church is so different than the belonging we find in the world, isn't it? I mean, often the belonging we find out in the world can be a surface belonging or a false belonging or a belonging that comes with asterisks and footnotes that's conditional, right? If you make the team, if you meet certain criteria, if you perform at a certain level, then you belong. And now, don't get me wrong, there's nothing inherently wrong with these kinds of communities and social connections. I was in the Wartburg Choir many, many, many years ago, and being a part of something like that is amazing, but, you know, it's temporary. Being part of a high-performing sports team, that can be a great thing, but if that's your only sense of belonging, it can't really cure that loneliness we carry, because we know deep down that at some point it might be temporary or conditional. And then there's the belonging found in what I like to call the magnetism of similarity, your sense of belonging that's rooted in being the same as those around you. And there's an easy, instant appeal to that. It's like quick bonding glue in some ways, but it often doesn't last. Because the first time you bump into disagreement or difference, things start to fall apart. And again, there's nothing wrong with those kinds of relationships, but if that's the only sense of belonging we have, we're in trouble, because it's always uncertain. But belonging we experience in Jesus, it's so different. It isn't conditional. It isn't created by anything we do or accomplish, but by simply the one who calls us by name. The good shepherd never looks at you and says, "You belong and you belong if your wool is fluffy enough," right? No. This belonging isn't formed by the magnetism of similarity. It's formed by the magnetism of mission, by the call of Christ. And when we're rooted in this common mission, following Jesus and building the kingdom, it's a deeper, a stronger, a more resilient belonging than the world could ever offer. Belonging in Christian community is something that's about being in a safe, loving place where we can be challenged by one another and refined by one another, because we trust that when those things come, it's always out of a place of love. As Paul says in Ephesians 4, that we speak the truth in love to build one another up, to build up the body of Christ. Difference and adversity is no longer a threat to our belonging, but a beautiful opportunity for growth, for learning, for strengthening our relationships. It's like this in a vineyard. When the plants, the vines, experience adversity in the weather, if it's a strenuous year, any winemaker will tell you that often this adversity actually produces more rich and delicious wine. So it is with the body of Christ. And my friends, I would take a transformative relationship rooted in Christ over a surface, easy relationship any day of the week, because it's always worth it. And even though it isn't always easy, we can't give up, because there's too much at stake. Belonging brings life, but there are too many people in the world around us that are just consumed with loneliness. And when people are lonely and desperate, they start to seek belonging anywhere they can find it, even in unhealthy ways, even if it's a false belonging or a dangerous or a poisonous or toxic belonging. People turn to things like drugs or addictions or toxic internet groups or self-destructive behaviors of different kinds, when in their heart there's just this longing to be known, to be loved, to be included. My friends, we have a whole mission field around us every day. People just waiting to hear the voice of their Creator saying, "I see you, I know you, I love you, you belong to me. Come, follow me, be a part of this, be a part of my pasture." And the challenge, the ironic challenge of preaching about this very topic, is that I think the people who most desperately need to hear it, well, they're not here, they're not in community, their home, or alone behind locked doors. So how do we reach them with this message we know to be true from the God who loves us? How do we help them hear the voice of Jesus inviting them into our beloved community? What is the unique calling of the church today? Well, I believe it has something to do with this loneliness in our world. I think one of the biggest missed opportunities we might have to cultivate community every day is simply in our neighborhoods. The people that live right beside us, but we don't ever really talk to or don't get to know. Those people that we walk our dogs past their homes, or we walk our kids to the bus stop past, and maybe we wave and we're friendly, but that's as far as it goes. But what if we took some risks? What if we actually knocked on some doors, or brought over some cookies, or started a neighborhood happy hour? I wonder what God might be able to do through that. Friends, belonging brings life. for you and for me, but belonging also brings life to the world, and I want that to start today. So I'm going to challenge us that today, when you walk out after worship, I want you to try and meet someone new. Introduce yourself to someone new, and not just a surface, hi, my name is, although for those of you that are introverts like me, that's a big thing, I acknowledge that, I feel it, but maybe try to go a little deeper. Get to know someone new, tell them something about yourself, ask, how can I pray for you, what's going on in your life? Practice and start here, because I pray that we may never rest until this vision God has given us becomes a reality, that every person would be known and loved, that every person would know others, that every person would discover the joy of doing ministry and growing spiritually in Christ, so the world would look more like the kingdom of heaven every day. Amen.